This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space shuttle shuffle. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Beloit to Belmont, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing today here on the show? I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited about today's show. I'm looking at this show, looking at the rundown, looking at our guests, looking at our topics and going, this is good. This is very good.
That's very good, Damon.
Coming up this hour on the show, Charlie Ebersol is going to join us. He is the CEO and founder of the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. This is the brand new spring football league that will end up beginning this winter in February, following the Super Bowl. The AAF will debut. It's kind of interesting timing considering we just have been talking about the USFL, which had a couple of years that were successful in spring football, but ultimately shot itself in the foot by trying to take on the NFL and go to a fall schedule. We just had author Jeff Perlman on the brand new book about the USFL, Football for a Buck, which is a fantastic read. Join us last week on the program. So now there's a new spring league, and there's going to be two spring leagues because this one starts up this February, and then the XFL starts up next February, the new XFL. So what does the AAF have that the XFL doesn't? How are they going to try to do this where the USFL failed? What are they learning from other startup leagues that worked? We'll talk to Charlie Ebersol about that coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. I'm very excited about that conversation. Also, our gadget guru, our tech princess, Katie Linnendahl, is going to join us here on the show in studio. There's a lot of iPhone news out there. There's a lot of gadget news out there. I need reviews. I need direction. I need Katie's wisdom. So she's going to join us in studio coming up here 1 hour from now. That's going to be awesome. Jimmy Butler wants to be traded. Should the T-Wolves give in? Aaron Rodgers is concerned his injury will only get worse over the course of this season. Is that the new reality? We've got huge freeze in the Battle of the Bulge, making his week 3 college football picks. And I have been alerted that he is possibly looking to sing again this morning on the show. And the question America is asking today, do I look like Drake's cousin? All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can hit us up on our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. As always, you can always connect with us on the Twitter machine as well. A great way to get involved in the show, just hit me up, DA on CBS. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, Browns and Jets. These are two of the forlorn franchises in the NFL over the last couple of years. However, things look to be pointed up. Cleveland Browns have had two close losses this season. With a decent kicker, they could be 2-0. A tie in week one against the Steelers, a loss last week against the Saints, where they outplayed New Orleans for most of the game. The New York Jets housed Matt Patricia and the Lions in their first game, that opening Monday night. And then last week, kind of crashed and burned, fell back down to earth. However, optimism for the Jets as well amongst gangrene fans. Looks like they finally have a franchise quarterback they can rally around and some good young players. So I ask you this right now. The Browns and Jets go at it tonight, and this is not usually a must-see game. In fact, it's not a must-see game tonight either. But the Jets have Darnold. The Browns have Mayfield. The Jets have a roster that they've built over the last couple of years with some good young pieces. The Browns have a roster with some good young pieces. They're both trying to turn things around. They both have some things that you have to like about them. If I asked you this right now, going into Thursday night football, who has the brighter future? Whose future would you rather have? Would you rather buy stock on 5 years of the Browns or 5 years of the Jets? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
I feel good about our team. Our team is excited, hungry, disappointed, anxious, whatever you, all those words you want to use, but they're looking forward, so looking forward to playing at home on Thursday night because, again, it's another opportunity for us to go out and go get a win.
Other than the two picks, I thought I played pretty well. So I'm just going to continue to try to play as consistent as possible, find completions when I can, and take shots when I can.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So let's break this down. That was Hugh Jackson and Sam Darnold going into tonight's game. Here's how we break this thing down. Roster. I would prefer, I would take over the next 5 years, the Browns roster. I love Myles Garrett. I like Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I like Jabril Peppers. I like some of the young players they have brought in. I like some of the draft picks they have made. I like the roster drafting so high as they have the last couple of years. I like the early returns on Denzel Ward. I like some of the young pieces they seem to have brought in. I like Jarvis Landry. Right now, roster-wise, I like top to bottom the Browns a little bit better than the Jets. At a quarterback position, I like the Jets. I like Darnold over Baker Mayfield. We don't really know what Mayfield is yet. It's so early on Sam Darnold as well. But I liked Darnold going into the draft better than Mayfield. I liked Rosen the best, then Darnold number two, then Mayfield number three. I'll stay there. I'll take the Jets quarterback, the Browns roster. Head coach, I'll take the Jets. I don't trust Hugh Jackson. I think Hugh has an ability to be a rah-rah guy and connect with players. I don't trust Hugh on Sundays. I don't trust Hugh to manage games, to manage rosters, to tamp down distractions. I think Hugh is just a little bit... He's too Hugh. He's just too Hugh in too many situations. And so I like Todd Bowles. I like his steady demeanor. I like that he's never too high or too low. I'm not sure Todd Bowles is anything ever better than a 9-7 coach. But I'll take a steady hand at 9-7 rather than what I see from Hugh, which is just too much commotion or chaos outside of the lines. So I go advantage head coach Jets and owner Jets. And it's interesting because in New York, Jets fans would love to have Giants ownership, but Jimmy Haslam and Browns ownership has been so bad and so unpredictable, and blow it up whenever they can, that you have to say advantage Jets. So out of the four major check boxes, or boxes to be checked, rather, check marks. I'm going Jets in three of the four. Let's look at division, the fifth. The Patriots are in the Jets division. The Steelers are in the Browns division. I think the Patriots' reign is coming to a close in the next 2 years. The Steelers might be as well, but the Steelers, if they could get their circus act actually settled, then you would think, well, you know what? The Steelers have a longer leash to be a dominant team in that division, although the Ravens and the Bengals are all both thorns in your side. But I think I would take the Jets in the AFC East long-term over the next 5 years rather than the Browns in the AFC North over the next 5 years. That's four out of the five boxes of the Jets, so I'll take the Jets over the next 5 years, which is interesting because I don't think the Browns' stock over the next 5 years is terrible either, but let's be perfectly honest here. 5 years ago, you could have said the same thing about the Cleveland Browns. The next 5 years could be very good. 5 years before that, you could say, the next 5 years will be very good. And it never turns. And that is the brutality of being a Browns fan. It always seems like there could be hope, and it's always the football pulled away from Charlie Brown.
Brandon Whedon's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell, we just signed. He's a bum.
So while I like the roster in Cleveland, and while I think and I know they're close to finally breaking through, and that this year should have three, four, maybe even five wins for the Cleveland Browns. Over the next 5 years, if I'm buying stock on one of these two, I'm buying the Jets because of quarterback, coach, owner, and division. 855-212-4CBS. I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, you're buying stock 5 years. Browns or Jets?
Jets. 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 Sam Darnold is the truth. Baker Mayfield may be that, and the Browns may be that, but I have more of a lock feeling about Sam Darnold.
What about the division 5 years from now? 2023. What's the more winnable division?
I think it's the AFC East because Tom Brady's on the way out. They've dumped Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't tell me Bill Belichick's still going to be coaching that team in 5 years. I don't trust the Bills after what they're going to do to Josh Allen this year and get him killed. And Miami just always seems kind of in quarterback purgatory. In the AFC, say what you want to say about the Steelers, and maybe they'll be different. But at least Baltimore and Pittsburgh are constantly always going to seem competitive and have well-run organizations, where I have a feeling that the AFC East won't be very well-run for long, and this could be Jets' time for the next decade.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of the divisions. I mean, the thing with the Steelers is, even if it wasn't Tomlin, even when it's not Roethlisberger, even if it's not this current roster, the Steelers are always competitive. Once Belichick and Brady go, it's a total crapshoot in New England, a complete and utter crapshoot. Now, I realize they were competitive with Parcells and Bledsoe, but it's just not the same, obviously. And the Ravens, kind of the same way. They've had some down years, some lean years, but largely over 20 years, they've been pretty competitive. So division-wise, I agree. There's more of an opening 5 years over the next 5 years for the Jets than there is, I think, for Cleveland. We'll take your thoughts on the matter coming up here next. Also, Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota. He wants out before Monday. Should the Timberwolves give in to his trade demands? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throwback Thursday sounds here on the Dob. Appreciate you being with us. We got such a good show coming up for you. I highly encourage you to watch it at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking right now. Cap of the gang back there, making sure that thing hums. Watch that on any device. Take that with you wherever you go. That's mobile friendly. That's watchda.com. We'll have an in-studio guest, Katie Linedahl. Our gadget guru will join us at the top of next hour, 40 minutes from now. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Asking the question going into tonight's game, Jets and Browns, whose future next 5 years would you prefer investing? Who's got the better stock to buy? I'm leaning Jets. So is Mraz. Super Dave tweets in, finally, DA, you said it. This is why the Browns won't improve to their true potential. Hugh Jackson, who should have lost his job 3 years ago. The Jets are the team to invest in. Adam has dialed us up in Lansing, Michigan, listening on the CBS Sports app and called up the toll-free line. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, D.A. Mraz? Love your show. I've called a few times.
Thanks for being here, man.
If we're just going to go those two teams, I would have to agree with you, D.A. I would have to say the Jets because of the Browns' coach. And I agree with that last week. He should have been fired 3 years ago. But I think there's another team that you need to throw in there that could be coming up as a sleeper team that could be great in the next 5 years if they can just knock off all the stupid penalties as a defense and if they can start game tackling. That's the Lions. If they can do that, they have a sweet defense. You know, last week, they could have won it on Sunday. But because of Quadre Diggs' horrible decision to was a holding or pass interference and negate that interception, which would have won them the game, they lost.
So the Lions are an interesting case study here, Adam, because before the season began, you might have remembered me saying, I don't think the Lions are going to be as bad as people believe. I think the Lions actually have a somewhat decent roster, a franchise quarterback, a decent defense, and if Matt Patricia gives them a first-year bump, like many first-year coaches do, and some former assistant coaches for Belichick have done in year number one, they could be pretty competitive. And then they came out in the opening Monday night and got smacked around by the Jets and looked like they were a house on fire. So while I agree with you, there's some things there to like. The early returns from Matt Patricia, I really don't like. And I'm constantly frustrated by Matthew Stafford because I think that Stafford has the ability to be one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I really do. I think there's enough there to believe that Matthew Stafford, if he could cut down on dumb decisions and be more consistent, has the ability, has the intangibles, has the experience to be a top five or top six quarterback in this NFL. I really believe that. But every time I want to believe he's turning the corner, he does something else that's so stupid. So there's some things there to like about the Lions, but I can't bet on them over the next 5 years because I think that Patricia's a huge question mark. And they need to make that roster deeper and better when it comes to high-end playmakers. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to jump into the phones, that's toll-free on the tweets. It's DA on CBS or at CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy Butler apparently wants to be traded. And he's told the Timberwolves, trade me to either of the New York teams, the Knicks or the Nets, or the Los Angeles Clippers. That's where I want to be. Now, there's a couple of things here. Number one, he wants to be traded before Monday's open of training camp. This is weird. This is awkward because remember, Minnesota fell in love with Jimmy Butler. Butler's an easy guy to love. Butler's a lunch pail dude that's desperate to win, does everything possible, came back after injury, and has always been kind of the heart and soul, guts and glue guy of the teams he has played on. He's an easy guy to love. And he was supposed to symbolize the Timberwolves going from disaster to finally respectable. And he was there in the playoffs last year when they finally broke through that drought. And now he has told them, I don't want to be here. Can you go back? Fans love you. You're supposed to be the guy. You're a somewhat demigod because you have helped turn the Timberwolves around, and now you're saying, trade me, I don't want to be here. If he's not traded and the T-Wolves say no, can he come back and have the fans adore him? Can he come back and be as popular? Can he come back and be Jimmy Butler? I don't know. Part of the reason that T-Wolves fans loved him was that it seemed like he wanted to be there. He wanted to be the difference maker. He wanted to turn things around. He desperately wanted to get them back into the playoffs. That's part of the reason they fell in love with him. If now you're telling them, oh yeah, by the way, he thinks you guys stink. He doesn't want to be here. Doesn't want to be part of the city. Is it the same relationship? No. Number two, Jimmy Butler has always seemed to be about winning. He wants to go to the Knicks or the Nets. The Knicks, the Nets. Look, I really like the Nets trajectory. Talking about buying stock, I would absolutely buy stock on the Brooklyn Nets in the next 5 years. I love their coach. I love their general manager. I love how they've cleared cap space. I love the fact that they have all of their draft picks now after the sunken Celtics trade. So I like their future, but their present is not exactly anything to write home about. So Jimmy Butler saying, put me in a place, not a winning situation. Do I want a guy like that? But here's the thing. If I'm the T-Wolves and I say, okay, I finally broke through to the playoffs. I don't want to break this thing up right now. I've signed Andrew Wiggins to a big money deal. I've got Karl-Anthony Towns. We finally have a winner, something people can be proud of. We finally had some sellouts at Target Center. We don't want to give that all away right now. I don't want to trade them. I understand. The problem is you're in a no man's land in the West. You're not the Warriors. And will you be able to re-sign Butler after the season? And I think the cold, hard truth is no. That if you don't trade Butler, that's fine. You might make the playoffs this year, but you're not winning a championship, and he's going to leave after the season anyway. So to me, it's unfortunate, but if I'm the T-Wolves, yeah, I trade. I trade. Because then I can add draft picks and or young players to a roster that already has two pretty good young players. I really like Big Cat. I don't really like Wiggins, but I then add resources. I mean, I think the cold hard truth, as I mentioned, is that Butler's just not coming back next year. He's going to sign with one of these teams. The Clippers will have two max options. The Nets will have two max options. So if he wanted to go to a place with Kawhi Leonard or go to a place with somebody else that will bring in a max deal, he can tandem, he can team up, he can go. A Kyrie Irving and a Jimmy Butler added to the Nets, added to the Clippers, added somewhere else. That sounds pretty good. If you can't get him back next year on a re-sign, you might as well deal him now. Now, you could wait until the trade deadline. You can try to stir up more interest because I don't know if the Knicks or the Nets or the Clippers right now are willing to just peel off and give you all of their resources. Remember, the Knicks said, we're not going to do this. We're not trading away assets. We're stockpiling assets. We don't want the quick splash, but you can never trust the Knicks to do exactly what they say. So maybe you have to fish this along a little bit. But if I'm Minnesota, yeah. I'm trading Jimmy Butler. When we come back, let's talk the new Spring Football League with Charlie Ebersole, the Alliance of American Football, which has now released its first four teams' nicknames. The Birmingham Iron, the Orlando Apollos, the Atlanta Legends, and the Memphis Express. That's the first four teams in the AAF. They've got some interesting things cooking over there at that league. We'll talk to their CEO and founder, Charlie Ebersole, coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the DA Show, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can find us across the CBS Sports Radio network, but also on Sirius XM Channel 206, the DA Show, and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, available on satellite Sirius XM Channel 206. Our next guest is going to try to take on the monster that is spring football, which is so interestingly timed considering we've been talking a lot about the USFL. Just had Jeff Perlman join us, the author of the fantastic new book, Football for a Buck, just the other day. So joining us on the show right now is a last name you certainly know, and that is because his father is a titan in television. He is as well in the media and entertainment world. He is the CEO and founder of the new Alliance of American Football, which you'll be able to watch on CBS Sports Network and CBS starting in February. Charlie Ebersole is our guest this morning on the show. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Amazing. We're finally getting to tell people the name of teams. It's a good day.
I know. We here on the DA show are kind of fans of leagues past and those that have tried to be upstarts and rivals and fun nicknames or whatever. So when I saw the Birmingham Iron or the Orlando Apollos, I was getting into it. The Atlanta Legends. This is cool. New logos, new team names. And as I mentioned, the USFL is kind of on everybody's mind right now as we discuss. When you look back at previous spring leagues, you looked at the USFL, I'm sure. What did you take away that you said, hey, we should try to do that as well?
People are drawn to great football. That if you can put quality football on the field, they want to show up. The USFL, for all of the hay that people make about its demise, failed to sometimes include the fact that they were averaging north of 35,000 tickets in most of those cities, and people were showing up. I mean, they had like a 19 rating on ABC, which is unheard of when you think about the modern professional landscape. So what we focused on was football, football, football. Bringing Bill Polian in as my co-founder and the head of football operations was something that I thought would help do that. And thus far, given the players and coaches that we've signed, it's a pretty good indication that we're going to be able to live up to that ethos.
Financially, though, the USFL did itself in because they tried to go toe-to-toe financially in outspending the NFL. They were able to get big names, but ultimately that did in a lot of the owners. You guys are looking for a long-term build. Salaries just at $50,000 a player with some bonuses wrapped in there. Are you at all worried that the owners will want to go and spend more than what you guys have earmarked and do kind of what had happened with the USFL?
Well, a couple of things. We don't have owners. We're a single entity league. So all employees, all coaches, everybody report to the city, to the top company. Second of all, our players aren't making $50,000. They're a 3-year guaranteed contract, which is worth $250,000. $70,000 the first, $80,000 the second, $100,000 the third. Third of all, we have built a digital platform that is pretty much the most robust in professional sports, which allows players to be bonused off of fan interaction. So if a fan picks a player on a fantasy platform or in a bet, et cetera, and you'll be able to have in-game betting on our platform through our partnership with MGM, the players actually make money on top of their regular season salary, which is as high or just short of the NFL practice squad schedule salary. They'll be able to make money every time they get picked on a fantasy team, every time they get picked in a bet, every time a fan likes them on Facebook, et cetera. So we designed a system that we think is reflective of the modern era, where a player could literally make limitless amounts of money if they engage with our platform in the right way with their fans. One of the things that I think the mistake has been is that as professional sports have gotten bigger and bigger, the players have seen their salaries grow to a degree and then stagnate while the valuations of franchises have exploded. So what we look to do is create a dynamic system in which the player is rewarded. A player like Juju in Pittsburgh, who's built hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube and built a real meaningful business, but isn't really benefiting from that directly. In our league, they'd make a lot of money in that situation.
Charlie Ebersole joins us, CEO and founder of the new Alliance of American Football, joining us this morning on the show. There's so much interesting stuff there, but I do want to ask about your relationship with the XFL, because I think some people are going, okay, we're going to have two spring football leagues after going for so long without them. You were the director of the 30 for 30 about the XFL. When you were making that film, did you know the XFL and Vince McMahon had an angle on trying to start a spring league just the same way you wanted to?
No, I mean, obviously, at the end of the film, he and my father talk about the potential for doing it, which was interesting because I was down the path on our project undercover with our relationship with investors, et cetera. I will say this. The unique proposition of starting a new sports league is by itself a challenge. But when you add to the fact that everyone wants you to be thinking about anything other than your league, I take comfort in the fact that I've got about 27 Super Bowl champions on my team, across coaches and players and executives within my organization. And the one consistent thing they all tell me is the years that we won Super Bowl were the years that we only focused on ourselves, and that your only enemy was injury, and the opponent you were facing across the field was different every week, and you need to focus on yourself. One of the things we've built as much as we could into the DNA of our league is that we have to focus on ourselves. The other spring leagues in the past made one giant mistake, in my view, which is that they hyper-focused on the NFL. They made the NFL their enemy. They said, oh, we're the no-fun league and the blah, blah, and all this other stuff, instead of just focusing on putting quality product on the field themselves and letting the fans decide. So our core focus is to put great football on the field and let the fans decide and buy in or not.
You guys are going to have an app, and that's where you're going to live stream for free a number of games so fans won't have to be in front of the television. This is smart. It's mobile. People are on the go. You're on your phone. This makes a lot of sense. But also, you can have in-game, as you said, betting and wagering on your league if you're in one of those legal states. So if I'm in Las Vegas or I'm in New Jersey, Atlantic City, I can be on my phone and I can see a second half line, or I can see touchdown on this drive and I can lay some money on it?
Yeah, and even more significantly than that, we've built something that we internally call Stats 2.0. And we're able to, because we're a single entity league and we're in partnership with our players are our partners, we're able to capture data off the players and translate it into bets that people have never been able to see before. So one of the things that I fundamentally believe about the viewership of football is that it has been for 70 years a passive experience. That even if you're playing fantasy, you play fantasy up until the game starts, and then you become a Twitter or Facebook user. You are not playing fantasy while you're watching the game. In our world, we believe that fans want to interact. The modern fan is somebody who wants to have an active participation in the experience. When you walk into a sports bar, you want to debate with the guy wearing the Tom Brady jersey if you're a New York Giants fan. And so when we look at that, we wanted to create that social experience on the media platform, and we think that we've done that quite successfully.
Charlie Ebersole, CEO, founder of the Alliance of American Football. Final question is, out of all the startup leagues that have tried to challenge the marketplace over the last 50 years, let's say, I think the one that really nailed it best is MLS. They had some rocky times, but they found their niche, they found their audience, and they've now been here for 25 years. And franchise values are skyrocketing. They've been able to bring in good talent. And they also had a bit of a single entity situation. They had owners, but obviously it kind of reported always to the top. Was there a model there that the MLS used that you guys also wanted to utilize?
Yeah, the MLS is killing it. I mean, when you look at the success in Atlanta and Seattle and a handful of these marketplaces, what they did is they built an affordable sport for fans that also was not ridiculously long. One of the things we really looked at and we've tapped into is that our game is going to be 2 to 2.5 hours long instead of 3.5 to 4 hours long, like the current football in both collegiate and professional zones. So for our focus, we looked at what the MLS did for their fans, and we focused heavily on it. What we thought we could do additionally, and what we've attempted to do, is make the fans a beneficiary of our success. When their team wins, they win points, which they can use to play more games, et cetera. When their favorite players win, they win points. The average fan in their lifetime spends anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 on being a fan. In my world, that's an investor. An investor should be rewarded, and that's something that we focused on really heavily.
Fans are going to be able to stream Alliance matchups via the free Alliance app while accessing integrated gaming options, as we mentioned, with real rewards, as Charlie was just mentioning as well. There's a big focus on the players and the audience and their interaction, which I think is really cool. And the Alliance, kind of nicknamed after the Alliance of fans and players and teams, not just a league of what we see and what we watch, kind of as Charlie just said, passively. Charlie Ebersole joining us this morning on the show. Charlie, I'm excited about the endeavor. I'm excited about watching it on our parent television networks and whatnot. So I hope we can do this again, man. Thanks so much for doing it. And we're all intrigued around here on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
Charlie Ebersole joining us this morning on the DA show. And look, I'll be quite frank here. In terms of my read on these two spring football leagues, AAF versus XFL, and if it'll work, I will remain constant with this. I have always believed there is room on the sports calendar for spring football if done correctly. The USFL proved that. In 1983 and 1984, there were cities that were wildly successful in hosting spring football here in the States. Wildly successful. There is space for it if done well. And one of the things the USFL did was get good football players. As Charlie mentioned, future Hall of Famer, Reggie White, Pro Bowlers, Sam Mills, former Heisman Trophy winners, Mike Rozier, Doug Flutie, future Hall of Famer, Steve Young, future Hall of Famer, Jim Kelly. Man, those are great football players, not just good. And if the football's good and there's space on the calendar, look, in March and April and May, you're either a college basketball fan or a baseball fan. But if you're a football fan, there ain't no football for you. So, yeah, that can work. But you can't try to outspend the NFL. You can't try to go head-to-head with the NFL. And I think you have to be slow build, which is what MLS did. MLS should be their blueprint. MLS started the league, a league, in 1996. And in the first 5 to 7 years, they had to fold franchises. Tampa Bay was gone. Miami was gone. They had to move the Quakes. They had to do some things because it wasn't working. But ultimately, they didn't try to outspend anybody. And they just were what they were. They started in NFL stadiums, then started building soccer-specific stadiums. It had to be a long play. Now, 25 years later, they're wildly successful and will not be going anywhere forever. They are here and part of our sports landscape. I think the AAF, assuming it stays constant with its salaries and has decent football, if it's crap football people won't watch, has a chance to work. I think it has a chance to work beyond the XFL because they're first team in, they're first man in. Being first here in this space, I think, is important. XFL a year from when the AAF starts, I think that's really important. But the AAF has Spurrier and Singletary and Dennis Erickson and football guys instead of XFL and entertainment. And I think that's where this thing can work. The issue is going to be, if you got two leagues, how watered down to the product? Is the football going to be decent if there's two spring football leagues filled with practice squad guys? Is there enough talent to make it look decent? But, yeah, I do think there's a chance for this thing to work, and I find it very interesting to be able to gamble in-game and also that the players are encouraged financially to interact with fans. Because if they are financially incentivized to do that, it makes players think creatively about engaging with you and making you care. And when they're invested in that, it really helps out your league. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. One of the news stories today is that Josh Gordon's locker is going to be next to Tom Brady, which, interestingly enough, is exactly where the New England Patriots posted Randy Moss. I don't, for any intents or purposes, believe that Josh Gordon is going to be Randy Moss. Moss stepped in there in the prime of his career, having already built an incredible career in Minnesota, and had already proven on the football field year in, year out, he could, quote-unquote, wreck a league. Randy Moss had every ability to destroy a cornerback, a defensive back, a secondary, a defense, and had proven it for 5 or 6 years in his career each and every year. He was obviously temperamental. He was mercurial. He was at times uncoachable. But he had proven on the field over 16 games, multiple years in a row, I can wreck this league. Josh Gordon hasn't. Josh Gordon has been good. Josh Gordon has been bad. Josh Gordon has been suspended. Josh Gordon has been great. Josh Gordon has been missing. He has been MIA. There's been too much up and down. And so I don't, in any way, shape, or form, believe that he's going to walk into the New England Patriots and put up 1,500 yards and 20 touchdowns the same way that Randy Moss did 11 years ago. But if there was going to be a place where Josh Gordon worked, it's New England. It is the best case scenario for him. There is ultimate accountability. You are being watched at all times. Your quarterback will give you no excuses. Your coach gives you no soft landings. They are under no responsibility to give you excuses or give you second chances. They've only spent a fifth rounder on you. And if you don't start 10 games for them or play in 10 games, they get a seventh rounder back. If you screw up there, it's totally on you. It's a zero-tolerance situation, and that quarterback will make you look as good as any quarterback you have ever played with times a thousand. If it's going to work for Josh Gordon, it's going to work in New England, which is why if I was the Browns, I would not have traded him to New England, because you only got a fifth rounder in return, and that's the destination that has the highest potential to make you look stupid. Unless they're just trying to do a solid by Josh Gordon, in which case, send him to the Patriots because that's his best chance of succeeding. I think it has a good chance of succeeding. I don't know what his body is like, though, because he's put his body through a lot with chemical dependency, and that's something you might not be able to shake, plus mental issues and mental hurdles that, no matter where you go, still haunt you. When you come back, Katie Linadal is going to join us in studio here on the DA Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.